This is the Go Glow Health, a podcast that will help us understand our health better. I'll talk to experts who will demystify topics like sleep, IVF, nutrition, gut health, and much more, as we take steps to become the healthiest version of ourselves. Since being diagnosed with cancer in my 30s, I made it my priority to educate myself on my health. I discovered creating healthy habits and investing in yourself can lead to wonderful things. I'm so proud to say that this podcast is sponsored by Emma. Emma mattresses are created by an in-house team of sleep experts who use only the best foams and the latest foam technologies. The Emma products are designed with you in mind and sure to have you waking up feeling energetic and refreshed. For a limited time, listeners of the Good Glow Health podcast can save a massive 42% on orders placed through emma-mattress.ie/podcast. You can find these links in this episode's description. Today on the Good Glow Health, I'm joined by Geraldine Mooney as we discuss gut health. Geraldine is a fully qualified nutritional therapist and certified food and spirit practitioner. She created the Happy Gut Clinic along with two of her friends. With over 20 years' experience in the health and wellness industry, she believes in empowering people to take control of their own lives and moving towards a healthier lifestyle. She reminds us that we can't change where we have come from, but we can change where we are going. Today's episode is packed full of tips on what foods we should be eating to have a healthy gut, the importance of organic foods, what to do if we are worried about our gut, and how applying simple healthy habits can transform how we feel on the inside. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you do, please leave me a review and rate this podcast. I hope you have a great day. Geraldine, welcome to the Gut Glow Health.
Thank you. Very nice to be here.
Thank you so much for your time. I'm so excited for this podcast. I'm fascinated by the gut. And you have created the Happy Gut Clinic in Ireland. So tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so it's along with my colleagues, Antoinette and Anna, we formed the Happy Gut Clinic. We met in college back in 2012, I think. Gosh, the years are going so quick. Mm-hmm. Yes, and from that day on, we just struck a chord. It was like, you see one, you see all, you know. That's kind of how it went on, and we just bonded and we grew, and we had three different kind of, we bring three different qualities, characters to the Happy Gut Clinic. So I suppose what one misses, the other two might pick up on, and that's kind of the way we work always. So if you come to see somebody at the Happy Gut, you're not just seeing one therapist, you're seeing three.
And what led you to being interested in the gut and setting this business up?
That's a really good question, because each of us have a different story, the three of us in it. And it was health problems. It was actually a close relative of mine, a loved one, who was ill. And I wasn't happy with the treatment, really. Basically, that was it. And I just said, there has to be a different way. This just can't be the answer, popping a pill all the time. So that's what led me to see if I could do something better. And I'm happy to say that, yes, we did find something better. And we did get the person off the pills, and they're leading a healthier life now.
And tell us a little bit about what role the gut plays. And I feel like there's more conversation about the gut and talking about the gut being your second brain, and trust your gut. And through my illness with breast cancer 3 years ago, I really feel like now I do trust my gut, and I never did before. My gut tells me when I'm well. My gut tells me when I need to slow down. So tell us a little bit about what role the gut plays in our body.
Well, I suppose if you think about the gut, it's your first interface with the external environment that you're bringing into the internal environment through food. So I suppose in that sense, yeah, what you take in, your gut is going to sample. As soon as it even sees it, the cephalic phase of digestion begins, sees the food, sees everything. So there's communication beginning straight off, and that you have 70% of your immune system in the gut. So that's a surveillance mechanism. So absolutely, yes, you should listen to your gut, because it won't steer you wrong. And I think a lot of people have forgotten to do that. they don't listen to the symptoms that their bodies are saying, and they ignore it to the extent that by the time they come to see us in the clinic, they're presenting with chronic conditions.
Mm.
So to tune in to your body is really important. To get to know your body is really important. To mind your body is even more so important, and to listen to your gut, yes, because it's there. As you said, the gut-brain connection is the vagus nerve. It's a direct pathway from the gut to the brain, the central nervous system. Okay, in the brainstem, it starts, it connects right into the gut. And then it, as they say, what happens in vagus doesn't stay in vagus, because it's a wanderer, because it connects to your heart, to your stomach, to your kidneys, to the liver. Okay, so did I say the lungs, even breathing? Yeah, so it's a really important nervous system and nerve. And you might be interested to know that there's more information goes from the gut than comes back from the brain.
Mm.
So yeah, you should listen to your gut.
It's so interesting because I think it's such a like sensitive area, like cancer and diet. And you know, when I got breast cancer, I was like, is it something that I did? Is it something I was putting into my body? Now, there was a number of things that led me to my diagnosis, like I was chronically stressed, I believe. Okay. And I was always like relatively healthy, obviously enjoyed the odd takeaway and things like that. But I was aware of what I was putting into my body, yet I still got sick.
Okay.
But then in my recovery, my oncologist said, you know, there's no diet for this. So what I decided to do was give myself a target of 7 portions of fruit and veg a day. I thought, if I'm not going to become a vegan or a vegetarian, I'm going to fill my plate with colour as much as I can. So would you have people coming to you that have been through an illness or have been recently diagnosed with something?
Yes, I'm finding a lot of people actually coming through to my door with autoimmune conditions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting. So the way we operate, I guess, is I need to take a full health detail. I have a 32-page consultation page that they have to fill in. And I know from the very onset, if people are willing to take the time to fill in that consultation mm-hmm. document, I know that they're going to put in the effort and the time yeah. with their health. And usually they will, because they've been to see everybody. We are usually a last resort
mm-hmm.
that they come to. Mm-hmm. So we really get the short end of the stick, you know, trying to kind of fix things, etc. And fix things is a really broad word to put in this perspective, because sometimes the best we can hope for is an improvement in symptoms.
Yeah.
A lot of the time they don't go away because they're so chronic. So we have to learn how to live with them.
Mm. Let's talk about inflammatory foods, because inflammatory foods are something that absolutely terrifies me, just because of what you read online about inflammation in your body. And even like with my daughter, I'd be worried she eating foods that are inflammatory, and should we be avoiding them?
That's again, inflammatory foods. What are inflammatory foods?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all know the usual culprits, like your processed foods, your fast foods, etc. They're always targeted as inflammatory. However, some people might not realize that some healthy foods may be inflammatory in certain individuals, especially with if they have a DNA profile that doesn't suit these type of foods. I'm thinking predominantly of nightshade foods, we call them. And that they would be tomatoes mm. and aubergines and potatoes and some peppers. So they are healthy, considered healthy foods, yet in susceptible individuals, they are inflammatory.
And can you find out then if they would affect you negatively?
Yes, you can. And I keep saying, you know, you are your best physician. You are your best nutritional therapist. Pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to what you're eating. Keep a food diary. Do an elimination of these foods. Do an elimination of 3 weeks. They say about 3 weeks, because just to get any residues of the food out of the system.
Mm-hmm.
So then you reintroduce the foods, and then you see, okay, that's flaring up again. I didn't have that pain last week in my wrist, and now it's back again.
Okay.
Or, you know, I've got a skin outbreak that had gone away for the 3 weeks that I stayed off this certain food, and now I've reintroduced it back again. And okay, 3 days later, you've got a skin infection, or you've got abdominal cramps, or you're going constipation, diarrhea, bloating, stuff like that. So inflammatory foods can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
Mm.
If you've, are you specifically talking about any specific inflammatory foods that you've read about? Or
I just
know
worry.
About,
I worry a little bit about like tomatoes and things. Like my my child is up. Oh, she'd eat tomatoes like for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay. You know, and I think I've met lots of mums that their children love tomatoes, and I'm just wondering: is there, should everything be in moderation?
Absolutely. Yeah, we would recommend that you rotate, rotation. Again, this is another one of Deanna Minnick's, Dr. Deanna Minnick's sayings. If you remember that, it's like she says it three times. Mm-hmm. So every 3 days, you know, if you want tomatoes on a Monday, don't have them Tuesday, don't have them Wednesday. Reintroduce them again on Thursday. Don't have them Friday. Don't have them Saturday. Don't have them Sunday. Reintroduce them on Monday.
Okay.
So it is kind of, you know, you do have to do a bit of controlling here with your food.
Yeah, and not just the same thing.
No,
all the time.
Not just keep reaching for the same things, because we are creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. That's just in our nature. But there's a lot of food out there that we can eat. And I would suggest to your listeners that they try one new food every week.
Okay.
And just go, you can go look up recipes on the internet freely and say, okay, what do I do with this? Mm-hmm. How do I cook this? You know, and I do appreciate that it's a time restraint thing for certain people, that they don't have the time to do that, but it is worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can always find time to do something like that.
And what are the signs then of an unhealthy gut? Like, what should we be looking out for?
So the signs of an unhealthy gut. Okay. So digestive issues, mm-hmm. you're bloating, pain, cramping shortly after eating, you need to go to the toilet, headaches, mood swings. Okay, vitamin and mineral deficiencies that you may have. Vitamin D now would be a big, on a blood test, if it's low, you'd want it up in the optimum levels of about 90 to 100. That's a sign of a disgruntled gut, okay? Skin problems, of course, if you can't eliminate through the gut and out through the feces or the kidneys, you're going to eliminate through the skin. That's an organ of elimination.
Okay, okay. That's interesting.
And lack of energy.
Mm.
Yeah, fatigue. Lots of things. Food cravings, sign of an unhealthy gut. Depression. Any itis conditions, you know, arthritis, colitis. And they're usually, when people are diagnosed with those conditions, that's kind of nearly an end game for the gut's signaling to you that things have been going on that we have chosen to ignore.
Tell me about junk food and takeaways, and is it okay to get the occasional pizza and treat ourselves from time to time?
Well, we'd live by the 80-20 rule. So if you live 80% good, mm-hmm. you know, in your diet, etc., and everything else, you can be 20% a little bad. You know, it depends on the individual again. Somebody may not have pizza, we'll say, for the week or however long they want to stay off pizza. And then they say, oh, no, I'm going to treat myself to a pizza. And I always find this fascinating when they'll say something like that. It's a treat. And then the next day, they may be doubled over in cramps, or they're bloated, or they just don't feel well. They've got a skin outbreak, and maybe they're on the toilet or off the toilet and on the toilet. And this is a treat.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, really, it's up to the individual to mm-hmm. take that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, never say, no, you can't have this. No, you don't do that. No, you can't. We're dealing with adults, people here, and maybe children, it's different, because you have to take the responsibility for a child, I suppose, and make them decisions. But adults, I would say, you know, it's up to you. I'm going to show you how you live in your body and what your body needs and what your body wants and what your body reacts to and how your body can stay healthy, your body. But if you don't want to do that, it's completely up to you. But also know the consequences of why you've chosen to do this and what will be the reactions of your body to you. So can you live in harmony with your body? Can you give your body what it needs? And you can also look at food and you say, okay, this slice of, seeing as you mentioned pizza, we'll keep the pizza there on the table. You can always look at it and say, well, is this food, this particular food, either going to harm me or is it going to heal me?
It's a great way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. A quote from Oprah that really sticks with me is when she said, taking care of your body, no matter what your age, is an investment. And like I said, giving myself that target of 7 portions of fruit and veg a day, it's really, really transformed my life. Not only how I feel on the inside, how I look on the outside. And I didn't do it for that reason. I didn't do it for healthy skin or vanity reasons. I did it to stay alive and stay well for my family. But I do feel like what you are what you eat. And I've realized that over the last while. When I was in chemotherapy, I would go in every week for my blood test before they'd allow me to get the chemo. And if my bloods were low, they wouldn't give it to me. So I did everything I could to stay healthy during that time. So drinking smoothies, eating lots of spinach, and my blood stayed well for my entire chemotherapy journey. So what are your thoughts on like vegetables and how much should we be eating?
Well, like I said before, I suppose you're aiming to eat the rainbow of vegetables probably at every meal and snack. Well, maybe not so snacks. I wouldn't be big into snacking anyway. But meals, your 3 main meals, you try and get your rainbow of veg. 2 pieces of fruit are probably all that you do need during the day. You possibly could make an exception there with an apple a day, every day. It's really good. The gut mucosa lining, and if you stew the apples, it's even better again.
Okay.
Because you know the way it goes, mucilaginous and all sticky. Mm-hmm. That's really good. If you think about, you know, that ad on the telly with the guy that's spraying the liquid over the stomach for the cat's gone. Yeah. So that's what it basically does for the stomach. It coats it and heals it and lines it.
And could you put that like in your porridge?
You could do anything with it. Yeah, always have it. You can store it in the fridge. You can dip it in. Put a spoonful into your porridge. You can eat it raw with a sprinkling of, you can add honey to it. Okay, organic honey and probably native honey to where you live is probably the best for the microbiome. So yeah, 2 pieces of fruit, the apples, it's really good. The stewed apples, I always give that to all of my clients to do. It's something, it's just a new lifestyle thing that you have to add in to your everyday health. And yeah, low glycemic fruits, it's probably the best. And then the rest in vegetables.
I'll get back to that conversation in just a minute. But first, I wanted to tell you a little more about Emma. Made right here in Ireland, the Emma mattress comes with a 10-year guarantee and is delivered for free and straight to your front door. If you're not 100% convinced, you can return it hassle-free for a full refund. Try Europe's most awarded mattress now for 200 risk-free nights and discover the secret to a great night's sleep. The Emma mattress consists of 3 high-quality foams that perfectly adapt to your body to offer you the right amount of support, pressure relief and comfort, while the breathable materials help keep you cool even during the warmest nights. Just the thing you need to wake up feeling energetic and refreshed. Now, back to the conversation.
And then what's your thoughts on dairy? Like, we see people now ordering oat milk lattes. Mm. And should we be avoiding dairy? Like, I would find that, you know, I'd have milk in my porridge and then I might have a flat white or something like that. And I'm like, God, that's a lot of milk first thing in the morning. You know, is this good for me?
Like, again, it's individuals. Mm-hmm. It's individual makeup. You know yourself whether you're going to have a reaction to the milk or not by what your body tells you. Some people are lactose intolerant, so they can't take to the sugar in the milk. Some is the casein, the protein in the milk. I myself love cream in my coffee. I go for the real McCoy, you know, full fat. And it's just that it for me is an addiction. I just love that. And it seems to be agreeing with me. Okay, but I will have only 1 or 2 coffees a day in the morning, usually before 3 p.m. Oat milk is good as long as the oats, you've no reaction to the oats. Organic, again, organic milk is better, I would say, if you're going to have milk, because of the way the other milk is kind of processed and produced. So, you know, you want to minimize your amount of antibiotics that are in the food chain, because it's really important if you're going to eat animal products that you know what your food is eating. Because then you are ultimately eating what your food is eating.
That's really, really interesting. And in terms of if we, you know, you choose to eat meat, should it be organic?
Absolutely, just for the reasons that I've said, because of the way that the farming is done. I suppose, antibiotic use Is there herbicides on the fodder of the food that the animals are eating? Are they penned up? Are they free and happy animals giving happy produce? You know, so this all relates back. So organic food, I suppose, again, is good for the environment. We have that to consider as well. So, yeah, I would say organic. If you're going to eat meat, that's a few of the reasons why you would choose organic.
If you have like the money to invest in organic food, should we be trying to fill our trolleys with
as much organic? As we can? Yeah, we also have another little saying, if you can't peel it, you buy organic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can go online and you can find what the Dirty Dozen are and the Clean 15.
Okay.
So that's really good to go online, and that will give you the list of products that have less residue of pesticide use on them, and the ones that you just need to buy organic.
Would you like recommend a vegan or vegetarian diet, or again, does it depend on the person?
I wouldn't be a great fan of them, particularly for one particular reason is that every cell in the body methylates, and they need the every cell that methylates needs vitamin B12, and without methylation, we don't live. Cells die. We die. So we have to methylate. We need B6. We need zinc. We need folate. And we need vitamin B12. The most easiest form of B12 for humans to assimilate and bring into themselves to do this methylation job is gained by eating animal meat. It's very hard for vegans and vegetarians to get vitamin B12. It's not impossible, but they have to really know what they are doing to get this amount of vitamin B12 and the more assimilated B12 into them. Really, really have to know what they're doing. They have to be really very clever.
You know, Giselle, the supermodel in America, she released her diet basically. Okay. And she's married to Tom Brady, and he's this like quarterback in the NFL. Okay. And they're really into like eating organic food that they grow in their garden themselves. But anyway, she released what she eats, and people were reporting on it for like months afterwards. And she doesn't eat meat that often, so she'd have like maybe a steak once a month. But people were saying that she has chefs who like will pick the food that gives her all the vitamins that she needs without eating meat. But like for a regular person, you know, in their normal wage, they're not millionaires. And if they're a vegan or vegetarian, it is hard for them to get all of those nutrients that we actually need.
Well, I'm just wondering, could we term a new phrase, maybe semi-vegan?
Yeah.
And maybe just get in there and have that piece of organic fillet steak once a month. Mm-hmm. That would cover you, especially for a woman that sheds monthly, you know, it would be very good.
And what are healthy gut foods? What would you recommend that we're eating to keep ourselves well?
Okay, so you're healthy. Well, water for a start. I don't think we drink enough water.
Oh, tell us about water.
Yeah, ionized water is probably the best ones that've got vitamins and minerals. I don't really want to endorse products. I don't know if
no, that's,
I can.
It's fine that okay? to do that.
So Volvic water is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And Evian, they're pretty good products. I would drink them. And, you know, we're 90% water and cells need water. And I suppose if you don't drink enough water, your body will get the water from whatever is in your body. So it will take it from organs. It will take it from your skin. It will take it from the colon. And that's where constipation comes in. Okay. It will take it. Regardless, because it has to keep you alive. Mm-hmm. It has to keep your brain ticking over. It has to keep your heart pumping and your lungs and everything else. So all the peripheral organs will suffer because of if you do not drink enough water. And by the time you're thirsty, you're dehydrated.
Yeah.
You really should be sipping water throughout
it's
the day.
It's funny, in my recovery, I started to drink lots and lots of water. And now when I don't, I can tell that I'm dehydrated.
Okay.
But definitely,
you're listening to your body.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. When I had Pia at the start, I was living on coffee, and I know for a fact that I was dehydrated. Okay. And I would tell myself, Georgie, you're not drinking enough water. You're not drinking enough water. But I didn't do anything about it. But I think it's really important, you know, to listen to that voice in your head. If it's saying you need to drink more water, that you actually do it.
Yeah, we have plenty of bad habits, don't we? We just need to create some good habits, good healthy habits. And the thing about water is the more that you give your body, even just sipping, it kind of demands it. So it reminds you and you just automatically start to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then in terms of other healthy gut foods.
Okay, so avocados.
Yeah.
Okay, so one a day, it's saying, because it produces short chain fatty acids mm-hmm. in the gut, which are fuel for your microbiota.
Okay.
Which then go on to produce your neurotransmitters, your enzymes, your proteins, your bodybuilding tissue for repair and renew. You have to be careful, of course, with an avocado a day. If your aim is to reduce your weight, because they are highly calorific. So maybe you could go for half of one a day, you know. Or even the small ones. The small ones are lovely.
Yeah. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere now, yes. Yeah. But a bit tricky, avocados, because it's, I'm not ready yet, not ready mm-hmm. yet, not ready yet. Oh, yes. Oh, sorry, you missed
Too late.
Yeah, too late. Yeah. So I suppose probiotic foods as well. If they're tolerable, and if you're beginning new with probiotic foods, start small. I'm talking kimchi, sauerkraut, etc. They are something that I would advocate you bring into your diet every day mm-hmm. and start maybe with a teaspoon. Kefir, kombucha, just a teaspoon.
Okay.
Start very slow.
And where
will you
get them?
Go low. Well, you can buy them in all good health food stores now, or you can make your own. There's sites on the social media platforms that will give you grains for free, because they really grow and grow and grow and grow very quickly when you feed them. And all they need is a little bit of sugar and a warm place to ferment. That's it.
Great.
Yeah.
And then in terms of salad and spinach and things like that, should we be obviously trying to buy organic spinach as much
yes,
as we can?
Yes, of course. You can't peel spinach.
Yeah.
So yeah, organic would be best. Yeah. The reason being why we want organic is because we not only breathe in polluted air and take food inside, we don't want to be compromising our immune system with too much excess rubbish. It's a bit like why I'd say organic, etc. How do I explain this? A bit like the Russian dolls, you know, the way you have to unpackage and unpackage and unpackage, take one out mm-hmm. and you get that getting smaller and they're getting smaller and they're getting smaller until you actually get to what you need. That's what we don't want with foods. We want them to be in as neutral and as natural a form as possible, that the body can go, oh yeah, just grab it quick, do what I need to do with it, and minimum waste.
Okay. And tell us about meals and dinner, and what time should we stop eating in the evening?
Okay. Well, that again is an individual choice, and that's going to work different for everybody who's maybe doing night shifts, etc. Mm-hmm. So you can't really, circadian rhythm there is maybe what you're getting at. That's going to be different for everybody. So is there an ideal time to eat? Is there an ideal time to stop? I would say no, it's different for everybody,
mm-hmm.
but there will be an ideal time for you. There will be an ideal time for me.
Mm-hmm.
I do practice intermittent fasting. Okay, so I have a window of 8 hours that I will eat in, and then I fast for 16 every day. So
is that to give your gut a chance to recover?
Yes, it's called autophagy, is what happens when you rest the gut. So mm-hmm. that's when all the night cleaners come out and they start sweeping up and getting rid of debris and repairing cells.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, that's
so it's
really
a rest and digest.
Mm-hmm. So then we were also talking during the week, and I said, you know, what will we be eating in 20 years?
In like 20
what will be on our plates?
This was a fascinating question, and I really hadn't thought about it at all until you had said it. Okay, so there's mealworm burgers.
Okay. Oh, God.
Yes. So I think like it was, what did they do? They passed a law, and actually this is interesting, in May 2017, and I hadn't realised it, because in the April 2017, I did my AFMCP in London, and I was actually eating cricket cakes, and I seen it written down, cricket cakes, and I thought, how so innocent. I thought, oh, are these for the cricket place, you know, the cricket clubs, are they called? And then when I had eaten it, there was one of my colleagues came over and said, no, that they're actually crickets. And I went, what? And I said, gosh, they're really nice. You know, it was like a sponge cake. And it's like almond flour. Tastes a bit like almond flour. So it's not as bad as what you think. You're picturing these live crickets running around and you're chasing them. But they're actually dried freezed. and then pound it into a powder. So it's just, you'd think it was just flour.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in May 2017, they passed that law for the acceptable bugs law.
Okay.
For ingestion of humans, for right. humans to ingest. So it's to help with the war on malnutrition. They are gluten-free. So cricket cakes, yeah. They're high-protein insects. The mealworms and the crickets and grasshoppers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they, it's actually, they've been pumped out in Switzerland, I think, at the moment. You can buy mealworm burgers.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, it just
and
there's so
falafel
gross.
Bug balls, they're called. They look like falafel. Okay. So it's really important. This is another good one for your listeners. Read your ingredients.
Yeah.
Always read your ingredients yeah. anyway on anything. And if you need a science degree to decipher any ingredient, put it back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it. So yeah, the falafels, and there's algae farming now that's being done. So they're doing salmon fish cakes. Again, your question about the microplastics.
Mm-hmm.
So we're eliminating that in ingesting them. So, and there's low mercury as well. So okay. it's a seafood replacement. There's also tiger nuts. Okay, so we'll be eating tiger nuts. So they're allergen-free, gluten-free. Again, they're very good for celiac patients or people with lactose intolerance. It's a high source of fiber again, so very good for the colonic microbiota. So yeah, looking forward to eating them. But you can also but know that I have lived to tell the tale. I have eaten them.
Okay, good to know. It's really interesting. I think people are just becoming more aware and wanting to kind of educate themselves on their gut. And
absolutely.
Do you find that, I mean, people coming to you, they don't necessarily have to have anything wrong. They could be just interested in what they're putting into their body.
I am fascinated by the people who come to see me because they are an education for me because they will know an awful lot more about what's going on. And rightly so, in their bodies. And sometimes I will make suggestions and they say, no, I've tried that. That doesn't work for me. And I go, oh, right. What did you do then? You know, and it's fascinating how much knowledge people do have. And they're actually digging and doing the research about what's good for them.
Yeah, and then if you have a symptom of an unhealthy gut, or, you know, you've got bloating, or you just don't feel like yourself, would you recommend that they come to see you and just address the problem?
Yeah, absolutely. If all else has failed them, if the conventional route has failed and they're not happy with it or it's not working for them, then absolutely, yes. I can't give any guarantees that what we suggest will work. It's a process of it's trial and error, basically, with everybody. And I don't have a one size fits all. I have to meet the individual that's sitting across from me where they're at. We have to see what's going to work for them.
I think it's interesting, like on my cancer journey, I did everything the doctors told me to do, took all the chemotherapy that they recommended, the treatment. But on the side, I was just very interested in my food and my water, and I just feel like the two balanced each other, and I stayed well during chemo, and I was blessed to have done that. But definitely, I think investing in yourself and what you're putting into your body, like, it has to pay off.
Well, absolutely. We always say, if you don't take care of your body, where are you going to live? And we are not an alternative to conventional medicine. We are a complementary to conventional medicine. We will always take into account any drugs that people are on, and we work with those drugs to support the drugs that the primary carer has given.
So brilliant. Thank you so much. I learned so much, and I think it's just so important, you know, to speak to the experts, and what you said about detoxing, what you said about, you know, still taking your medicine, and this is a complementary thing beside it. I think it's just so important. So thank you so much, and I'll definitely be in to see you guys in the Happy Gut Clinic. Geraldine,
lovely.
Thanks for your time.
To seeing you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Good Glow Health with thanks to Emma. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It would really mean the world. And if you'd like to send me a message about any topics you'd like me to cover, please do so on Instagram at georgie.crawford. Talk to you very soon.